start at 7 a.m. in the morning. That work, the staff? So you can go home a little earlier tonight, and then we won't keep you till 9. But we'll be here at 7. And then tomorrow, we do need to finish up. I mean, if it worked out that we did not get finished up tomorrow, we'd have to come in Saturday morning to finish it, which would not be our preference. Staff needs to get into drafting on Saturday. So if everybody will make sure they keep their schedules available to go late tomorrow night till we're done, that'd be great. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, I know that we did it in the past, and maybe we were more crunched for time during that time. We spent a little committee the whole time in here. Would that be?
Well, I mean, we can do that, and but the problem is that it begins to catch up on you because we've got both houses have to start scheduling two to three a day budget hearings on other bills next week. And I think we can do it and stay and not do that. But my concern is it starts rolling. You know, you get off the floor for committee hole, you get in a second reading, you don't remember the bill, and then it just starts snowballing on you. And we could do that if that's everybody's preferences. But my preference would be to try to hit the committee the holes. Then next week. In fact, staff for both of our administrative staff need to key up some bills for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday so that we can start rocking and rolling that before your colleagues start throttling you.
They already are.
Well, that's fine. I mean, so there we go. All right, let's advance. Rich, you've got the floor. Continue to march.
Mr. Chairman, on two items that you inquired about in our previous session, one, I have spoken to State Superintendent Cindy Hill regarding her need for space on the fifth floor of the Hathaway building. She does not need that space. She has arranged for space. She's putting some of her IT folks, her IT stuff, in the basement of the Hathaway where there is some available space. And she is making room in the space she has. She doesn't need any of the fifth floor. So that was not...
Basement now, the Hathaway. Are there people down there?
Mr. Chairman, we had a lot of DFS folks there. And through some ability to make some shuffling, we were able to get them out of the basement and included with other DFS people in the Hersher building. And... there were some issues in the basement at the time. We were doing some mold abatement and that sort of thing.
I remember complaints about health and just lack of ventilation.
So we moved people out of there. Believe it or not, we never did find any mold, but we did clean it up. And
it was an issue. I mean, people were going nuts down there, and ventilation was poor and things like that. I assume that none of that's changed.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think the light and the things that are typical to a basement, any of that has changed. However, the space she wants to use down there is mainly for IT stuff, and it's perfectly suited for that, other than, from what I understand, they don't encourage you to put IT stuff in a basement where it's likely to be exposed, you know, a lot of water. This apparently is stuff that works down there, so... Mr. Chairman, the other issue you asked about back on the military budget was the bridge across the Platte River for the Veterans Cemetery. I think what we discussed and what I told you was pretty accurate, but as is the case with General Wright, he's not going to retire peacefully. He wants to be here to really make sure we know all of the scoop on this road. And apparently, and I'll explain it, apparently the property for the road was purchased by the Federal Veterans Administration and given to the state for the access across the river. So we literally own the road. There's no question about easement from anyone or anything like that. We actually own the property the road is sitting on. With that said, as you can see from the map they provided, there's a private golf course, water supply inlet there. There's subdivisions. There's a little park there. All of those things are accessed off of the road we own. You may note in the map that they showed a place where it says gate. They're not in any way trying to indicate that we put a gate there, but that's where we could put the gate because that we own that property all the way to that point. The problem is it's state property. They don't think it would be very agreeable with the Veterans Administration for the state now to turn that property over to the county. So it's going to probably stay state property. With that, Mr. Chairman, I think my explanation is consistent with
what is what? The bridge that's due east?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't hear you.
What's the bridge due east? Is that a well-maintained? I see two bridges on this map.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the answer to that. Let me, military department has folks here that have all of the details on that. I will yield to one of them. Mr. Chairman, this is Colonel Tammy Mays.
Mr. Chairman, that bridge belongs to Exxon. I'm sorry, sir, I didn't hear the question.
Is it a good bridge? Or?
Sir, we don't really know. We don't use that bridge, and we haven't checked it out.
I mean, the access road, it looks like you'd only need about a half, quarter mile access. I mean, just $1 million is a lot of money. Could we find out?
Yes, sir, we can find that out.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lumpleter.
What's your thought process on this, using the other bridge in some manner? Is that what you have in mind?
I didn't hear. What did you ask?
Oh, my question to you is, what's your thought process there as far as quizzing on the other bridge? Is it something you're considering we should consider using? Is that
what you're thinking? Well, I just think that you look, you've got the Platte River here, and those people are putting resources into bridges, and to have a bridge simply to for a cemetery alone seems like a very expensive resource, particularly if there are other bridges and other points of access. And there are other accesses up on the left. And I appreciate the federal government bought access, but, you know, if the federal government wants to pay the $1 million for the bridge, I won't oppose that. But if the notion is we buy an access and therefore you have to put $1 million in it, and just for simple convenience, that's a lot of money. And it looks to me, I think before we spend $1 million, we ought to give consideration to exploring the whole area, and whether you can build a, and the, plus the bridge is going to require continuous improvement. Every 5 to 10 years, we're going to be asked to put that money in. Whereas if we found another road with an access, all we'd have to do is build a one-time road and some maintenance.
Mr. Chairman, I think that Mr. Bottleboard would like to make a comment.
Mr. Chairman, the funding for any improvements, repairs, or maintenance of this road could be paid by the federal government. However, the federal government within the VA funding system gives the cemetery grant state cemetery grant program a block of money. They prioritize that money on new state cemeteries, expansion of existing cemeteries, and improvements and repairs. In the last 5 years of watching that budget, they've only touched the very first two categories of federal funding. It is unlikely that we would get any other federal funds to make the repairs on that bridge. When the bridge was paid for by the federal government and the land bought for the road, the agreement with the VA was that we would maintain that road and bridge.
Well, the state of Wyoming didn't make that agreement, did it?
Mr. Chairman, yes, they did.
Is there an agreement out there that I can see that we're, the governor signed and obligated the legislature to fund?
Mr. Chairman, we've asked the federal government for that information from the VA cemetery program, and they say it's an implied task as a result of that, their funding that bridge.
Well, we don't, our Constitution prohibits making contracts like that.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bartlemore, I'm just trying to think of that area, you know, and I've been to several funerals out there, and I'm just trying to think where there's other access, and I'm thinking like the closest is just to the, that map faces north, so it'd be more to the west, kind of, well, that, I don't know, Byron Stock Trail kind of area is all I'm thinking. I mean, it's not even on the map there. Other, I don't know about this private bridge of Exxon or whoever it was, some company. Are there any other closer? I'm just trying to think in my mind. I don't know. Is there something even farther east, maybe East Gasper? I don't know. Any comments on that?
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, if you look, there's a two-track road if you see toward the north. West of that cemetery. That used to be the access road into that cemetery. It was a dirt road. During the development of the cemetery, the Veterans Commission and other state agencies tried to coordinate other access without requiring the building of a bridge. I believe they exhausted all those attempts so that they ended up building the bridge. That was in the early 1980s.
Mr. Chairman, so that two-track road, where did it actually, so it heads off in the northwest, I see it there going towards those, I don't know when this picture, is this Google Earth, must have been last spring, all that water, but where does it go to? I mean, where did you access the two-track road, do you recall?
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall specifically, but the anecdotal discussions that I've been part of is that it came off of a county road, a county gravel road to the two-track.
Which might be like an Ormsby Road or something.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the specific road.
Yeah.
But we could get back to you with the previous access route.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the picture. It clarifies it in my mind. I was envisioning these subdivisions on the other side of the river. So the access to those subdivisions, the bridge would be pretty important, but this picture points out that the bridge pretty much just goes to the cemetery. There's nothing else out there. And so the main access to these subdivisions is probably south, part of Evansville. Is that correct? So the bridge isn't that critical for these subdivisions. It looks like if they took that bridge, they'd be going out towards nothing out there.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, Evansville attempted to negotiate the transfer of that road and bridge to the city of Evansville. The VA just held that for action. They neither supported it or were against it. In last year, the city of Evansville abandoned those attempts to transfer that property. They have two subdivisions planned for across that bridge, but due to the economic downturn, they chose not to move forward with annexation and development of those subdivisions. Now, the subdivision that you see there toward the left of the map, those houses are fully developed. I think this is a 2 or 3 year old photo, but that subdivision is fully developed, and those folks use that road extensively to gain access to that subdivision.
Where is that?
You'll see the blacktop roads right in here. Those homes are all fully developed now.
The bridge.
Not the bridge, sir, just the road. Remember, please recall, Mr. Chairman, the road, our property of the road begins where we have that gate proposal. Mr. Chairman, the city of Evansville made those road cuts illegally. Mr. Chairman, no.
So did you say that the subdivision has an easement then to go on our road?
Madam Chair, no, they do not.
Mr. Chairman, moving on, we left off. We have. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we're done with military. We've got one request from the State Fair. They're seeking some assistance with ventilation in the Livestock Pavilion and Show Center. It's one of the newer buildings we build up there. Apparently, the air circulation system and the ventilation system in that large building is not adequate to remove the hot air from the upper portions of the building, causing dust and condensation. And they put in a request for $344,300 to take care of that ventilation system in that building.
Were there any performance guidelines in the contracts that are still under warranty, or is this on us?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Jim Chaput in my office has gone back to the design firm, and they had a mechanical engineering firm that designed this project, and we believe we're past warranty on that. Request was denied by the State Building Commission. The governor concurred with that.
How long has the fair known about the problem? Long enough to, if had they alerted you earlier, could we have made a warranty claim?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the answer to that. The first I knew about it was when it came up in this year's request from Department of Ag. Mr. Chairman, next item is State Parks. Have a request in for $1.8 million for fire suppression system at South Fast City at Carissa Mine. This is a request that was has been in a couple times. There is concerns about the fact that a lot of that old part of the Carissa Mines has no fire protection. It could get on fire and burn up. Obviously, they've done quite a bit of work. We're comfortable with the amounts of money they have in for this project. This request was denied by the State Building Commission. Governor concurred.
Real quick, Mr. Chairman, in this project at South Pass City, Rich, could you look down that list of the under project description? Are there items on that list that could be started if this committee decided to put a little bit of money towards that project? I mean, where would you start and what items would you start with? Phase it in, maybe, is my question.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Peterson, I'd have to look at that to figure out where you would start the project. Typically, it wouldn't be a long duration project from start to finish. I would think you'd need to, once you start, you just roll with it. But Mr. Chairman, the next four items are game and fish. First one is a wigwam rearing station. They've identified some whirling disease spores in their fisheries there. They have a plan on how to resolve those problems, and with the work on the upper spring well and work on the lower spring well, they can change the water source to the fishery, and they believe that will resolve the problem. This request was approved by the State Building Commission and recommended by the governor, and Governor Meade concurs. Mr. Chairman, next project from the Game and Fish Department is seeking six or five, I'm sorry, five units of the ADA compliant comfort stations. They've got good history with these. We've legislature has approved a number of these in the past, probably a dozen. They have a very well-known source to acquire these, and they buy them installed for $35,000 a unit. This request is for five units. Approved by the State Building Commission.
We're on 65. It's good timing. You came in on the comforting stations. There they are.
Mr. Chairman, State Building Commission.
At least somebody
approved
remembers. All right, questions? If not, next item.
Mr. Chairman, the next item, the Game and Fish asked for funding to develop two additional public access areas, one at Summers and New Fork. I think their request is for $125,000 in general funds, and it's pretty spelled out there what you see for the cost. ADA comfort stations, two, that's one at each location. Boat ramps at $30,000 and parking barriers for $25,000. State Building Commission approved it. Governor Friedenthal approved it. Governor Meade concurs. Mr. Chairman, the next item is for actually repair, maintenance, and maybe replacement of about 38.5 miles of elk fence. Some of it, a substantial portion of it, is in pretty rough terrain. We had to trust the Game and Fish on the cost of this. They're pretty conservative on their estimates always, but they do have experience building elk fence. I do know that just a four-strand livestock fence costs today a heck of a lot more than it did even 10 years ago. But I penciled this all out, and it come to, I forget the amount per mile, and I thought it was very reasonable. The governor, SBC, Governor Friedenthal, and Governor Meade concur.
My question is, can we pay for this out of the Wildlife Trust Fund?
We can't direct it by the statute. I mean, the question is, could they go to the Wildlife Trust Fund? It's probably not a conservation item, would be my guess.
Elk fence is not a conservation item?
I don't know
item?
The answer to that, but I guess nobody knows. I mean, we'd have to look. And so you're tasked with that job to
call Bob Budd,
find out whether this is something that would come within if they'd made the application. Good question.
Mr. Chairman, next item is the Department of Family Services Boys School. As you recall, we've done two very elaborate projects at the girls' school in Sheridan. This request is for $850,000 for level 3 design money for a 34,000-square-foot school building at the boys' school. If you read their narrative, it's pretty compelling. I've been on the campus. They're currently holding classes in some of the housing units and different places throughout the facility. The actual school building is not adequate for the number of students they have there.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. Mr. Cathcart, have you had any conversation with the director there? As we've been dealing with our juveniles and in these two locations, the numbers have gone down, and I'm just curious, what is our overall state plan with these facilities if we're remodeling them or enhancing them, and then we're discouraging enrollment in the facilities? That's what I think that's originally what they thought, but the numbers have not gone up. And I'm just wondering if you've had any conversation on that.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, I can't answer that question. What I do know, however, with regard to the activity we've had for major maintenance and CAPCON projects, both of those two facilities have been fairly conservative regarding what they wanted. You may recall at the girls' school, because the reduction of numbers, phase two was reduced by about $3 million. So
just to follow up, Mr. Co-Chairman, but the numbers are not increasing, and I'm just curious as to state facilities, just like the Living Center in Lander, which is not on this, but Training Center. They're old buildings, and we keep putting money into them, and I'm just wondering what the future benefit of that is.
Mr. Chairman.
You just tasked yourself with a job.
I know.
Why don't you talk to Senator Schiffer and make sure he's with you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe this request is for design money to rehabilitate an old building. I believe it's for design money to build a new classroom building. Mr. Chairman, next item is Wyoming Community College item. It's a $1.4 million spending authority request of other funds for the Casper College Early Childhood Learning Center. Any questions, Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, the next item is University of Wyoming and Casper College joint facility. It's looking for spending authority for roughly $10 million in Revenue Code 6603 revenue bonds. Mr. Chairman, next item on the request is from the University of Wyoming. They're asking for $2.6 million in general funds for level three design work for renovation and addition at the fine arts facility at the University of Wyoming. It appears that, unless I'm misreading this in any way, but it appears that, of course, whenever you fund a level three design, you can imagine next year there's going to be a level three construction request in. It appears that the early planning on this, they have revenue bonds in the amount of $33 million to fund construction. Mr. Chairman, and next item is the University of Wyoming Community College Joint Facility. They're looking for a level two study, and they're asking for general funds, $750,000, for what I believe was the University of Wyoming share of the level one, level two cost. This project did not get a recommendation. There was no action by the State Building Commission, and the Governor Friedenthal made no action. Governor Meade concurs. Mr. Chairman, the next item is University of Wyoming. Mr. Chairman, I don't have a lot of knowledge regarding this project. It came up somewhat late on our October State Building Commission meeting. There was discussion by Governor Friedenthal and the State Building Commission that $50 million worth of the AML funds could be invested in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics facilities at the University of Wyoming. That said, Mr. Chairman, it is recommended by the State Building Commission and the Governor to proceed with this project. There is a footnote in Governor Friedenthal's recommendation that says if AML funds are not available to Wyoming as a result of federal action, one-third of the 0.5% severance tax diversion currently held in the spending policy reserve account proposed to flow to the legislative stabilization reserve account will instead be diverted to fund this building project.
Richard, that $50 million, how much of that is planning and design, or has that already been taken care of?
Mr. Chairman, I think $50 million was a number of, let's say, opportunity. I believe they know that that much is available. Frankly, $50 million, while it's a gob of money, I don't think it's more than they would need to develop what they're proposing here. If you read the narrative above, it talks about planning there, and basically it doesn't put numbers on it, but it talks about what their master plan may look like for that facility.
Chairman. Before, Chris, do you know more about this than he does?
I would bet a lot.
So.
Mr. Chairman, I'd yield the floor to Chris Boswell.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know anything more than Rich Cathcart about anything under the sun, but I'm happy to offer a thought or two. First, Mr. Chairman, I'd note that Governor Mead has recommended a slight change to that, with a reduction in $3.5 million in terms of construction, with a dedication of that funding towards operations. These are, again, AML funds. Governor Friedenthal, in his profile, again, when Governor Friedenthal's budget came through, I don't believe that the state had received notification from Secretary Salazar's office that the state would receive its, what I guess is called the 2011 AML, I don't know what they call it, appropriation authorization. That's why that $50 million in LSRA, belt and suspenders, sort of protection was in there. The understanding, and I think you all have had some discussions about AML, the understanding, well, we have received authority for that. Inevitably, when you're dealing with AML funding, there is always the possibility that unspent AML funding could be withdrawn in some fashion by congressional action. I don't think that's expected. I certainly don't think the congressional delegation would stand for that. In the atmosphere of Washington these days, I have no ability to predict whether that would happen or not. The dollar figure on the facility was developed by the university. They've had plans for some time. How detailed those plans might be in terms of the development of the cost estimate, I could not answer.
Questions?
If we're the $50 million STEM building, I believe is actually in one of their notes is expected to cost 65.8 is what they've even noted. So this isn't all of it.
Mr. Chairman. $50 million, if I may, Senator, $50 million construction, and then the $15 million, if I remember correctly, would be to go back and renovate existing space in existing buildings once some of those labs have moved out of those areas.
In this case, assuming the committee approves it, does that cover the lab equipment too, or are we going to run into that issue in this building?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the answer to that.
Know how former Senator Cathcart feels about using these monies for lab equipment, so we probably ought to figure out what they want to do there.
I've heard discussion of that, Mr. Chairman, from a number of fronts.
Well, Mr. Chairman, lab equipment would be perfectly okay if it's profiled in the original project. Mr. Chairman, thank you. The next project is Department of Corrections, the Wyoming Women's Center for a Parent-Child Program. They were initially asking for $40,349 for planning for a parent-child program. They want to renovate some existing buildings that are outside the, maybe they're not outside the fence, but it's an existing facility at the Wyoming Women's Center to develop this parent-child program center. They had pretty good estimates on what the renovation would cost, so the State Building Commission approved this request. Then Governor Friedenthal, after we had a pretty good cost estimate of what this renovation would cost to produce this, decided to add $1.2 million to just go ahead, do the planning, and complete the project. Mr. Chairman, the testimony at State Building Commission regarding this particular project was pretty darn compelling. We think, at least we heard, that this was a significantly important project for the Women's Center. Mr. Chairman, Governor Mead had denied this request. Next project, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the next request is from Department of Corrections regarding a level one and level two to finish construction of the two housing units that we included as a change order as we built that project. The inclusion of that $3.7 million to build those two additional housing units were shells. They're ready to go, but it was really good business because of the nature of that project, which was tilt-up concrete. We had the casting beds there already, the cranes to set them with, et cetera. So we did approve that amount of this project. This request is asking for level one and level two to go back and, I guess, consider finishing these two housing units. The problem is level one is feasibility. We already know it's feasible. And level two is preliminary planning. And, Mr. Chairman, we already have level three design done on that. So the idea of asking for money to do level one and level two on this, we already know everything we could learn from level one and level two. I guess at this point the question is, do you want to spend the money to finish those two housing units? Our current estimate on that is, I guess we could call it $10 million, is $9,800,000 and some. Call it $10 million is a pretty good estimate to do this. We have consulted with our design firm and our contractor.
Rich, the director made the argument that, you know, why not take advantage of current construction dollars because it's economical. I guess I'm not persuaded by that, but is there any risk that by delaying it, there's some code provision that might either prevent or some code change that might prevent in the future of utilizing this space or losing the benefit of the core and shell that we have erected?
Mr. Chairman, I would doubt seriously there would be any code changes that would prevent us from eventually developing those two housing units into functional parts of the prison. That said, however, there could be some merit in taking advantage of the construction economy we have today. And as I said before, our projects are coming in way under budget, and I would love to take credit for that. But a huge amount of the credit for that is based on what the current construction economy is, along with some good management on the projects. But the construction economy is really good right now. I'm thinking that if you have money to build and you want to build, and it's inevitable that you're going to, now is a good time to do that. Now, I don't have any predictions that the construction economy is going to jump up and go back to where it was 3 years ago within the next 4 or 5 years.
Constructed, though, and there's no need for the immediate space, then you've got a maintenance obligation for the new. I mean, there's a depreciation that takes place until they're utilized, I assume.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Mr. Chairman, that concludes the CapCon. And
one more request.
Guaranteed maximum price. I've circulated. Rich, you've had a chance to talk about that language. And it, Chris, I don't know if you've had a chance to study it all.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just read it when I got back into town
a
minute ago.
Well, the Rich has already looked at it and given us critique. If your staff wants to edit it, what I'd ask you to do is
before you head down to your office, go by my desk, Speaker Buchanan made comments, and his changes are either on my desk.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, there's Ed's comments right there.
Mr. Chairman, apparently I turned a page. We have one more project.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Let me finish this. So, Chris, you have that. Those are Speaker Buchanan's comments. So if you guys decide to edit it, go ahead and include those edits. If you are not going to edit, then just send me your edits, and I'll pick and choose later on. But I don't expect to make any more revisions till this evening, and we've got to tee it up for tomorrow. So if you want to go ahead and just start editing it, that's fair enough, and just take his changes with him. The only feedback that we've not gotten, to my knowledge, is nothing from the UW. I think the other partners have looked at it other than your office.
Okay.
So have at it. Rich?
Mr. Chairman, one final project. I apologize. I put these things in here, and I had two of them doubled up. At the Wyoming Honor Farm in Riverton, Department of Corrections is asking for Level 1 and Level 2 money in the amount of $67,133 to do Level 1 and Level 2 on a potential new medical building warehouse canteen within the fence perimeter of the Honor Farm.
For everything for you?
Mr. Chairman, that gets everything. With Chris? One brief comment, I did read this. Everything in here is doable as long as, and I think you and I discussed it, that we agree there is a way to waive the 70% requirement in the event you don't get enough in-state subs bidding on all the sub work.
I think it's there, but I'd like to make sure it's there. And Chris, if you'd, there's no ownership in the text, so if you don't like it or you want it, do it entirely, have at it. I mean, I got it started.
I'm a little, I guess I wonder on what duty the contractors have to hire in-state employees on these. Is it solely just they call up on one day and they go to the employment office and say, I have 136 positions, and are they available today? And then from that point in time on, they can say they've if they're not available, they've met their duty to try to hire Wyoming employer and Wyoming personnel, or do they have to do any advertising, or what's the mechanics of that part of our statutes?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, typically, I can't even imagine a contractor trying to pull that and go get a blanket clearance for 130 employees, because what if they had them in the employment office? Now the contractor is stuck with 130 employees he doesn't have work ready for. Traditionally, as the project starts throughout the phases, you have need for people on excavation and site work, so you need backhoe operators, that sort of thing, and then you need form builders, carpenters, and concrete folks, and then pretty soon you're going to need some structural people and eventually bricklayers and carpenters. But as the project moves forward, the majority and the lion's share of the work is done by subcontractors. The requirement of the law is that 100% of the people working on state projects are Wyoming residents. If we can't guarantee them the people, then they have the right to get them wherever they need them. That said, the way the law reads, if Cathcart and Meyer Masonry Company moves in on a project, we're obligated to check with the local unemployment office and put a call in for 6 bricklayers. If they only have 2 available that are qualified, they have to be qualified folks, then we hire those 2, then we can get the other 4 wherever we get them. But that's the requirement.
You said the local office. Now,
correct.
That isn't statewide, because we've got, say, somebody doing a job in Casper, in Cheyenne, and somebody could go from Wheatland or Torrington or maybe Douglas or Casper that's unemployed, yet they have the opportunity to hire someone from Denver or Colorado Springs before the people from Casper or any place else in the state. So can we say that's a statewide requirement or job search?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, Workforce Services has unemployment offices throughout the state. Now, there isn't one in every small town, but there is a Workforce Service office somewhere in the state that supports every community within the state. And the requirement is, before they hire people for that project, they have to check with that Workforce Service office to fill those positions. If there are no bricklayers in Chugwater, that may come out of a Workforce Services office in Wheatland, and they need bricklayers in Chugwater. I don't think they have a blank check to just call Denver and get them without checking maybe Cheyenne and Casper. I don't know how that works. That is all enforced by the Department of Employment. But frankly, it's a simple matter for the contractors to comply with that.
With you, other than that, you're
not that I'm aware of, Senator.
Well, I think we'll cut you loose then, and we thank you for it, and we'll go into the goldenrod profile and cities, towns, and counties and revenue. You're free to stick around if you'd like to hear that presentation. I'd love to have you. That'll be tomorrow, and I tell you, if you've got changes there that you want, Michael, that you think, why don't you give your draft? I mean, if you can remember, give them to Chris now, because if they're going to work it, you might as well get all the changes you can get. Yeah, you may be trying to talk to Chris. Well, you can take it down. We'll get another shot at it. We'll get their drafts back tonight, and we'll go through it again. Good thing we're getting to the end. I'm running out of paper. Finally.
Mr. Chairman, Dean's passing out the white rod, which is our preliminary look at probably tomorrow morning's goldenrod, unless you guys finish marking this thing up today, and then we'll add one more column to it. What this reflects is basically the same goldenrod that you got last week, except it includes now the governor's rec column, and we tried to reflect his recommendations the best that we could. There are a few little areas of uncertainty here, but I think it's probably pretty close for him, and I'll give you a key area of uncertainty. If you turn to page 6, that $15 million that's recommended coming out of water account 3 near the bottom there, about the fourth line up, we never actually did get a letter on that, but it is included in Governor Friedenthal's budget message. And one way or another, I guess there's separate legislation for this out there, but just to kind of be accurate as to what the overall recommendation was, we went ahead and included that. Last page, fourth line up from the bottom. Mr. Chairman, there are a couple of odd things about the governor's recs this time that are a little difficult to profile. The easiest one to talk about right off the bat is is Governor Friedenthal's recommendation for $15 million out of Water Account 3 to Water Account 4. A proposed water account for. Right.
profile it because there's no such count.
We're showing it coming out, Mr. Chairman, just to show that it is part of an overall recommendation.
Okay. And water 4 would be the Gillette project?
Right.
I think we'll have a lot of discussion about it as we go through. So.
Right.
Mr. Chairman? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did get a copy of Senate File 36 that had language in there saying that any available surplus funds of it should be used to pay back the money that we took out last year. So it does seem somewhat inappropriate in my mind that we would keep dipping into account 3. So I'll have this ready when we get to markup, Mr. Chairman.
Jeff, when are you going to build something with that money? Okay, we'll have plenty of time to get that discussion.
Mr. All Chairman, right. Just to make sure everybody's paying attention to this one, because this doesn't exist on this profile, but it will as soon as you make your recommendations. The current governor's rec is for $14.5 million. For the data center funding, if you recall that discussion. But in both cases, that $14.5 million was recommended out of monies that the governor took out of other agency reversions and pooled for flood relief for Fremont County. Okay? In our opinion, that money should, and we talked to Richard in the budget office about it. You know, and this is just LSO sticking to its guns as usual, you know. In our opinion, that money should have reverted as soon as it was known to be freed up, as soon as it was known it wasn't going to be expended for flood relief, because it should have, had it not been diverted for that, it would have reverted presumably shortly after the end of the fiscal year. We didn't intend that to be a suggestion to the budget office that you better get that money reverted. It was just simply that, look, we're going to handle this a little differently when we discuss it with JAC. Long story short is $12 million of that now is reverted. So when we show you a new profile for the JAC rec, we'll show that $12 million.
As reverted?
Yeah, and we'll show it as a separate line so you can keep track of it, because there's potential for some weirdness in the discussion on the floors on this. I mean, I know you two understand exactly what's going on, but...
But we did that last year. We actually profiled reverted funds. So I'd say tell them revert the whole 14.5 so we can profile it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's where it gets a little weird. There's some potential outstanding bills out there that they haven't identified yet that, because of federal payment and all of that, they're not going to be able to know exactly what's out there just
yet. I'm inclined, we'll profile what's reverted, we'll spend that. If we need more money, we'll get it. If we get reversions later, we always get reversions. That's a fact of life, and they come out through the year. And if you look at the LSRA, folks, we're not broke here. We can fund the things we want. So profile, let's do it. The discipline is, you're exactly right. You profile your reversions. We'll, when we get to the appropriations, we appropriate money. And if we needed more money and we were broke, we would go out and say, pay your bills a day to revert. We don't have that problem today. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, that essentially is kind of the bottom line on, I think that's pretty much the rest of the odd pieces, although there will be a couple of more once we're certain on school expenditures, because we'll have to pull in Section 205 and adjust those appropriations from school foundation program. Speaking with Dave Nelson about the effects of recalibration and all, I think we want to reflect that once we know where it's headed. We want to reflect that the best we can in Agency 205 in the budget bill.
Yeah. Senator Meyer.
I guess for my education, Director Cathcart had a whole lot of reversions, reversions, $30 million or more when you total them all up. Where's that on our sheet? Where does that go?
They haven't reverted yet. Those are projected reversions. Now, what happened is we tried to collect all the reversions and put them in the capital renovation account. And the issue, the discussion will be, do we want to sweep these into that capital construction renovation account, too? But they haven't reverted yet, but they will.
Right.
Forecasted. It's not profiles. Off profiles. Yeah, we got those too. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Everybody, any folks want to talk about particular parts of the white rod that Bill didn't go over? Great.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we'll just kind of quickly run through it and show you where you can find the governor's recs and what the kind of what the overall effects are. On page one, if you come down that far right hand side column, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seventh number down. If you count that zero up above, the 222.285.503, that's a governor's rec. Bear in mind, there is an additional large piece of governor's rec that will be reflected on page 5. So when you're asked how much is the governor's rec, it isn't the 222. It's the 222 plus on page 5. You can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Starting with the sixth number down, you'll see those three divisions of the remaining balance in the permanent fund spending policy reserve account of 52,151,982 each. So really, in my mind, that 156 plus the 222 is getting a lot closer to what the total rec is.
Now, folks, to move this thing along, as soon as we start marking up, when we come back, I'll start the markup going through to try to set pace. But before we leave today, I mean, the 300, Section 300s usually come last. Those would be the big ticket items, the broad items. What I would, before we close out this evening, after we've gotten the rhythm of this thing, what I think we'll do is you do a sort of a polling just to see where people's initial reaction are to so everybody can get lined up for their arguments in the morning. But the polling would probably be, for example, how many people support the diversion? Just get a show of hands. It's not a vote. So we can kind of figure out how much breath to expend on those issues. Yeah. Well, it's not now. You need to get in the rhythm of this before you be doing this thing. So then with the level of support for cities, towns, and counties, I think it's helpful, you know, we just start saying, okay, everybody, you know, how many people would support $10 million and go up $10 million increments and see when arms start dropping out to see whether, you see what I'm saying? So that way it gives me an I know how hard I had to work overnight. But, it's just feel the day before, kind of give an idea of where people are. And that way we can kind of we know where it is. So we'll take some of the key ideas, not vote on them, but just kind of get a sense. Because we got to close the gap and figure out whether we're looking at the high side or more for cities, towns, and counties. Same way with high. I mean, the governor set a target. I kind of want to know, are people... are you at 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, and see as arms drop out so you can see what the level is as you go up? And if all the arms stick up to $100 million, you kind of know what's there. And I kind of like to do that the night before just so that people can be thinking about it, see, and digest that information as they think about their arguments for the following day. And we'll pick out a couple of those arguments or big ticket items tonight just to figure out what tomorrow looks like. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, speaking of big ticket, is everybody comfortable, first of all, with this profile? And second of all, I guess I want to ask you, do you want to pass out that sales and use tax information at this time? Or
we need to get the sales and use tax, because the second part of it is distribution. What I was hoping is you would give us sales and use tax trends, what's going on, and a flow sheet on how we allocated last, how the present budget allocates. Do we have that? If we don't have it now, we can maybe get it before the day's out. So the question is, how much of the, what was the current dollar? How much went to cities, towns? Because we have to do it first. Once we decide the amount, then you got to do an allocation between cities and towns and counties. And then you have to do the, then you, underneath the counties, you got to decide what formula and cities formula. So if we see the sort of the flow sheet, we don't need all the supporting documents, at least a flow sheet of here's 50% went here, 20% here. We can see whether or not that's an allocation we have any interest in sustaining. And the admonition, you know, to the new members and everybody is that we could sit here and argue over and over, and you can tweak that thing, and all you come is with another tweak of the same thing. And so to the extent that we can use the existing budget to profile the dollars through, we would save ourselves a lot of headache to do it. And then the question is, what's the allocation? And so if we kind of see what the percentage, you know, we've got $50 million, 30% going to counties, 70% to cities, with that, and that, here's how it's allocated. And then if we can kind of agree, okay, this is the backbone for which we're going to use for distribution, the question is which direction do the flow lines go? Make sense to people? Now, if you don't want to do it that way, you don't have to, but you got to have, I mean, I guess my sense of it is it's a good compromise, and you can always change the compromise. It's just, it doesn't move things around that much. Obviously, we want to figure out how to keep money away from Gillette and Sublette County because they don't need him. Oh, excuse me.
That's right.
But they'll be here at the trough.
Well, Mr. Co-Chairman, I would like to start with that formula.
Okay, well, we'll do that, Dean or Alex, or just give us sort of a flow chart. Does that make sense? And you don't have to do it now unless you got it. Always kills me when they've got it.
Mr. Chairman, when we come back from break, we'll bring you a little less detail for the I think what we have is probably more than you want. So
we'll
come back.
Well, we'll want the detail and the other stuff. Yeah. But, folks, what I want is before we leave tonight, so that you're thinking about it, that wherever we are, we'll shut down and hit some of the big topics so people have the night to digest it, think about it, and so that tomorrow flows a little bit easier.
Mr. Chairman, we'll pass this sales and use tax information out right quick. And
do we have a list of bills with appropriations?
Mr. Chairman, we do.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we'll pass that out to you right now. Dean, have you got that? You got copies there? Okay. We'll pass that out to you right now, Mr. Chairman. And just real briefly, Alex has been doing a lot of analysis on this sales and use tax now for a couple of years, I guess, or year and a half for us. And basically the story that we thought was going to play out really seems to have played out even kind of more so than we thought was going to happen. And I'll just refer you right off the bat to the graph And these are some of the larger recipients of sales and use tax. It's real similar by county, obviously, and you'll kind of get a feel for that when you look at the details in the other handout. But you can see that some of the more mineral wealthy areas were also getting pretty sales and use tax wealthy, if you will. And those areas that experienced that mineral wealth growth really were the ones that dropped off the most on the sales and use tax as well. So they took a couple of big hits, but they also had, as the chairman has pointed out many times over the last couple of years, they also experienced the largest growth. And then you have, to me, some of the more interesting areas are like Cheyenne and Jackson. You get down in that lower bunch of lines, and they get a little harder to follow. But, you know, Cheyenne certainly experienced some downturn, but that line looks pretty flat still. And like we talked about when we discussed Craig before, there's been pretty good recovery coming from some of this, presumably from some of this seismic activity.
Now, historically, I mean, we've asked in the past for you to take a look at assessed valuation because that would be the property tax. And I think in the past we've also said, we said the sales and use tax is a close proxy for the property tax. In this year, I mean, if we did an analysis of assessed valuation, question number one is, have we done that? Two is, are we safe to use the sales and use tax as a proxy for county revenues?
Mr. Chairman, I think, yes, we do it every year. In answer to your first question, it's part of the CREG process for us, for LSO, because we supply numbers then to Dave Nelson and Matt Wilmore to project schools with. So, yeah, we do it every year. And if anything, I would say comparing on sales and use tax, I think you'd see a dampening effect there compared to assessed valuation. I think
we have that data, and it can be made available to us the next couple of days. Let's get that.
We do. Mr. Chairman, what we don't have is municipality information, but we have – school district, we do it by school district, and we also do it by county.
Well, let's only use the data that's collected. Let's don't put in, I mean, we'll be lucky to get that. So
each of those are pretty representative. It's a pretty good sample. Either way, whether it's...
A lot of this stuff is just proxy and look to the general health of what's happening.
Right. So, Mr. Chairman, the second handout that's three pages is a history, and it has everybody. It has all the cities and towns, and then the last page is the counties, and it's showing you kind of the high point, which is 2009, I believe. 2008, 2009 were both really good years overall for sales and use tax. Again, we're talking the state share of the 4%, or the local share of the 4% statewide, rather. 10's the big downturn, and 11 is six months of actual data plus 6 months of CREG general fund extrapolated information. So it'd be half and half, but you can see 11 is coming back really well, and that reflects, 6 months of data actually, again, is probably going to dampen the effects of some of that recovery. By the time it all shakes out, it's the ones that have recovered will probably have recovered a little better than this data indicates. So that's our background data. And if there's anything else we can get you before you're ready to, ready to go.
Bill, could you get us the average per capita on sales tax just so we can kind of draw a line on there and see where people are above and below it? And I know you guys have already done for me the average assessed value on a county basis. We might distribute that to the committee. It's already done.
Mr. Chairman, per capita again?
Yeah, sure. You guys already have that in the system. You did that for me, so the committee might want to see that too.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just point out one other potential area of weirdness. Now, this one applies to distributions to these local governments. We anticipate by March or April, we'll probably have a new set of census data that could could change things quite a bit. So I would say the committee will have to make some decisions about what census data they want to attempt to use in any of these, in the August 15th distribution, for example.
The present bill identifies the last census data, doesn't it? It doesn't say the most current. It identifies the, by specification, the last one.
Mr. Chairman, I think it actually refers to 2000 census data.
Okay,
and here's the thing. If you probably will have members that will be interested in the 2010 data, and we're not going to be able to provide estimates
because we don't
have the details yet.
Now, and we've been through this before where we shifted that data, and then, in fact, one time before we did adopt a census data that was not yet published, and we went home and a lot of weirdness happened because you have an interaction between the census data and your formulas, and our resolution at that time was that we would not use any data or distribution method that was not hard paper so that when you walked away from the budget, you knew what you had.
Chairman,
go ahead.
Just a question. I think it was like we were looking at 2006 or some kind of other data, and we decided to go back. So the 2010 census, you say, won't be available, but is there more current data than the 2000?
Mr. Chairman, I think this was part of the ongoing discussion that took place a couple of years ago about what data to use. And everything that isn't 2000 or 2010, everything that isn't decennial census is estimates.
You recall what happened on that is that you have an annual adjustment done between the census group based upon IRS tax filings. So for a period of time, they would adjust based upon IRS filings. Some communities we found had big hits because if you had a transient community, they weren't monitoring people coming in, they were monitoring people going out. We saw counties that decreased that you knew weren't decreasing. Then afterwards, they came back and made a correction to that and picked up those counties back. So you have now, what we found is every year it changes. So if we wanted to use a corrected or one of those more recent updated censuses, that'd be all right. As long as it's one that's adopted, we can all see it, and it's in print at the time we do the budget so people know what happens to it.
Mr. Chairman, just the last follow-up on this. Are there any other parts of our maybe you got an update for me on this. Is that a little different than what we're...
Mr. Chairman, I stand corrected. The language actually does refer to the last decennial census. So, again, it'd be a decision you better be aware of.
Just so I could finish my follow-up, I think that there's other parts in statute where we refer to the most recent decennial census, or are there other situations where we've left town, the census kicks in, and it rolls with it? I mean, we rely on the census, there's no doubt, and the most accurate census.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think any of the statutory distributions, for example, severance taxes or FMRs or any of that, you know, we can only give you best shot at this point because You know, as far as the ongoing distributions go, that all that stuff's going to be kind of shifting sands over the next few months, but not for too long.
Mr. Chairman, but it will go to 2010, all those things.
That's
when
correct,
we're gone
Mr.
out of town, and we won't really know what those numbers are because we're going to be gone.
That's right.
So I think we're on solid ground with the current footnote, I think. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As Dean stood up, what I remembered, when we did the local government interim work, goes two summers ago, we went through and tried to reconcile all of the census data, because some of them said the most recent census data is adjusted. We agreed, I think what you're pointing out is we agreed to use the most recent census data. So we need to have a discussion between today and tomorrow as to whether or not we'd be better off to override that for this budget and say this budget, notwithstanding anything in the statute that we may have provided, this is the census data. So you're going to choose between what, as Representative Harshman says, current data that may actually be more fair or data that you actually know what your constituents got when you walked out. And, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me as long as we recognize it. Now, what we could do is we could bring somebody from ANI over on our resident census expert and maybe talk to us tomorrow morning about his recommendation and what he would think.
And, Mr. Chairman, I didn't bring it up to complicate things, but, you know, as I thought about this going out on the floors with, well, what does this mean for my community or what does this mean for my county? And you point to a hard number, and August 15th or whatever date any different money gets distributed, that number's significantly different. You know, I just don't want you guys to get caught off guard by that.
Let's do this. I mean, we've got resident experts at ANI. Let's bring one of them over tomorrow at we're going to start at 7. I mean, if they can get up and be here at 7, that'd be great. And one of the first things out of the box is to have a census update so we understand the significance of it. And then we'll debate it tomorrow and we'll make a decision. How's that? Want to break for and come back at after on adjournment? Then we'll go to 6:15, and then we'll be back tomorrow morning.
And whoever gets out first.
That'd be great. Then giving us the allocation sheets for cities, towns, counties.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I think we're ready to go.
Oh, the bill.
Other side. Yep.
Mr. Chairman, that sheet I gave to you, it's one sheet, but it's a two page.
You're not supposed to know their secrets, but we get to know the secrets. Okay. All right. So that, you got bills that are profiled or numbered profiled, bills that profile but not numbered.
And you can see we want to spend more than we have.
That's always the case. All right. So go ahead.
I think Dean was just going to say nothing shows up on the profile until it's officially passed or reading in the House. There's one on this, and that's the teacher contact days, right, Dean?
All right.
$10,000. Teacher merit pay.
Teacher merit.
$10,000
yeah.
General
yeah.
fund appropriation. That's all that's hit the profile so far.
$10,000 total. $10,000 total appropriation, Mr. Chairman.